Right now, we are joined in the studio by the one and only Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Hello, and how are you?
Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
I'm very well.
Oh, my God. It's going to be one of those.
No. This is my best behavior voice.
Yeah.
We have a special guest.
That is true. We
so
do have
I'm
a special
gonna
guest.
So I'm going to be on my best behavior.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not going to say weird things.
Uh-huh.
Going to be very serious.
Well, I want to bring in our special guest in just a second, because I've been plugging this for the last hour and a half. But before we get to that, there's an event coming up tonight at the library. So
I can be weird and stupid before
our
special guest speaks.
Too.
I've got
yeah.
a small window of time.
You've got a very narrow window before our guest arrives.
And I would actually say that our special guest could be one of the people featured in the thing that's happening at the library.
Absolutely.
So what's happening at the library is Vitamin O, which is an exhibit that is up currently, and then there's a reception tonight. So Vitamin O is a project of Alicia Stemper, who mm-hmm. I think you've probably had on this show before.
Yes.
Are you? And you have a portrait in that, right?
I am one of the profilees. Yeah,
you
and,
are them.
And she actually did the interview with me live on the air.
Oh,
so
that's
we showed
awesome.
People how it was done. Yeah,
I
that
love
was a
it.
Lot of fun.
So Vitamin O is a series of portraits along with short descriptions and stories about the people and the personalities and the characters that make Orange County so great.
Mm.
So Alicia, it's I think funded in part by Orange County and maybe the Visitors Bureau. There's a whole bunch of hands in it, but Alicia is the person who goes out and finds these people, photographs them, interviews them, and then currently in the lower level hallway of the library, there are like 24 of these portraits hung up. Tonight, we are celebrating the official opening of the exhibit at the library with a little refreshments, some words and remarks from various folks. Alicia will be there talking about it. That's from 5 till 7. And I believe she is unveiling like 5 new portraits tonight.
Nice.
So after we talk with our special guest on our best behavior, I'm going to hop back over to the library and encourage others to come over there for the exhibit launch from 5 till 7, and then all the portraits will be on display for the next several weeks on the lower level of the library.
Really cool. So, and really underscoring how cool this is, because this was a year-long project that she did with Orange County, but the year came to an end, and then she had all of these great photo essays and profiles of all of these amazing people in Orange County, and now it's going on the road. It was at the Orange County Visitors Bureau for a while, and now it's at the Chapel Hill Public Library. So the project goes on, even
yes.
though the 1 year is
and
up.
They're beautifully
really cool. They really are.
Displayed. They're framed. It's
mm-hmm.
a really, really nice thing. So we're thrilled to have it.
So that's coming up tonight from 5 to 7, and then you'll be able to see those profiles on exhibit for a long time to come. But come to the library tonight from 5 to 7 for the opening reception. And then on Sunday of this week, May 7th, the Friends of the Chapel Hill Library are holding another Meet the Author Tea from 4 to 5 p.m. on Sunday this week instead of Thursday, because it's also in conjunction with their annual meeting, which starts at 2:45. So if you are a friend of the library, head to the annual meeting at 2:45. And then at 3:30, everyone's invited to show up, get tea and
Milano's
cookies and refreshments and whatnot, meet the author, and then from 4 to 5 p.m., they'll have the Meet the Author Tea featuring our own Art Chandler, whose book Game Changers has absolutely taken off, and he's going to be the special guest at the Meet the Author Tea this Sunday, and he is our special guest today. How are you?
And I don't know what this best behavior thing is, because
this is actually Susan on her best behavior.
I'm never on my best behavior. You
yeah,
know
I was
that,
wondering man. About that.
Man, yeah. I'm okay.
Oh yeah, you can be
all
as
right.
weird as humanly
I'm feeling
possible.
Much better now.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
Cool.
Hello, Art.
So Art, for people who don't know, and this book really has taken off, and it's a great book on a great topic, and it's timely as well, because it's the 50th anniversary of the recruitment of Charlie Scott, his arrival on campus, UNC basketball really taking off and becoming the entity that we know today, Dean Smith establishing himself as a major figure in Chapel Hill, not just on the court, but off, with his contributions to the civil rights movement, and your book covers all of that in the context of the Charlie Scott era. So tell us about the book. How did it come about?
Well, it's not an all basketball book, and so the people who are expecting a straight basketball book, I don't know if they'll be disappointed, but they won't get it. I mean, they won't get what they're looking for. It's more of a social history, mm-hmm. Political science. It's a study about the 1960s in this era, which reflects a lot of what happened in the country. But I don't think people really believe that Chapel Hill was in civil rights revolt as much as it was in those days, because people look at Chapel Hill as as pretty liberal, progressive, enlightened community, and not much to argue about when it, it comes to that. But Chapel Hill was really an old South town in the 60s with liberal factions in the faculty and mm-hmm. other places. But Game Changers is about the civil rights movement in Chapel Hill, and then it ended with the passing of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, and then right on the heels of that, pardon the pun, comes Dean Smith wanting to integrate the Carolina basketball program, which he had done before the Civil Rights Act passed. He had tried to do that, tried to recruit a player from Greensboro named Lou Hudson from Greensboro Dudley, which was the all-black college preparatory school in Greensboro, had the scores, but UNC wouldn't let him in. And that's, one of the themes of the book, that UNC and Chapel Hill were very conservative in those days, and UNC mm-hmm. didn't do a lot to promote the minority students. So they've come a long way in the last 50 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And what did you learn writing this book? I know you...
Well, I learned, a little bit more about Dean Smith, mm-hmm. But the history of the town is really the thing that I hear most, and people who read it, that they couldn't believe that the things that happened. Now nobody was lynched or shot that we know of, but there were some pretty gruesome protests, and the way the protest came down was, very... In a cooperative form, because Chief William W.H. Blake, who was the police chief at that time, was in communication with the protesters, the NAACP guys, and John Dunn and the guys who did the student, the SPU. They wanted the police in on it, and they wanted the police to know where they were going and what time to show up so they could protect their protesters. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want the police there at the beginning. They wanted to go in to various places, try and get served. They wouldn't get served, sit down, lay in, whatever they did. And then usually they got arrested and taken to jail on one of the archaic trespassing laws that mm-hmm. Chapel Hill had at the time.
It's really fascinating, because we tell the story now, or we learn the history when we're going through school, of the civil rights movement, and it's the sanitized version of it that, the protest happened in 1963, the March on Washington, there were the protests in Selma and Montgomery and Birmingham, and everyone had their awareness raised, and Congress immediately jumped forward and took action, and everything was great after 1964. Absolutely not the case at all. The civil rights movement goes on as we knew it in the 50s and 60s, through the 60s, into the 70s, and communities like Chapel Hill were, it's at the level in the 1960s where you say, oh, no one was killed in the protest, and that's a sign of Chapel Hill being better than other communities. It's that level that the civil rights movement was waged in the context of.
Yeah, the Jim Crow laws in the South pretty much ignored the Civil Rights mm-hmm. Act, and Chapel Hill, had its progressive, like Jim Shoemaker was the editor of the Chapel Hill Weekly back then, and he was a very progressive, liberal editor, and he took the town to task at doing nothing with Brown v. Board from 1954. In 10 years, he said it was just political window dressing, the yep. few things that Chapel Hill did to desegregate the schools. And then one of the incidents at the rock pile where the owner, Carlton Mize, locked the doors when the protesters were in on the floor, and he got a couple of jugs of ammonia and bleach and walked amongst them and spilled it on them. And when the police showed up, a little late for that one, they had to take the burnt protesters mm-hmm. to the hospital. Then they took him to jail because they violated the trespass law. And Carlton Mize was never charged with assault or anything. And matter of fact, he said, well, they broke my door off the hinges. That was his complaint. So, you know, the town was very much in turmoil. And then, as it had been, you know, in the late 50s with the great national championship team, and then the early 60s, there was an undercurrent. And there was an undercurrent in the churches, first with Charlie Jones and the Presbyterian Church in the 40s, and then certainly with the great Robert Seymour, who came about the same time Dean Smith did, and with the breakaway from the Baptist Church to what eventually became Binkley Baptist Church. There was great turmoil in the coaches, in the churches, and Seymour was really Dean Smith's spokesman, because Dean was a young guy. I mean, he's 35. He wasn't the Dean Smith that we all knew. He was trying to, you know, coach a basketball team, keep his job, protect his young family. So Robert Seymour was his mouthpiece in a lot of ways.
Speaking with Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, but you're listening to Art Chansky right now. He's the author of Game Changers, which has really taken off. He's going to be the guest speaker at the Friends of the Library's Meet the Author Tea this Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. So if you're out and about on Sunday, head there and see that, because it's not to be missed. Are you surprised, Art, by how the book has taken off?
No, because it's a subject that I think shocks people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thanks to you and a lot of people in the media who've given it very good reviews, from New York Times to Sports Illustrated to, you know, to all the local papers in the state, you know, they portray it what it is. And it's not a basketball book. It's kind of a shocking revelation of the things that gone on here that people will go, oh, and that could never have happened at Chapel Hill. So I think, you know, the story transcends basketball. It's really a much broader story. And I actually think it's a great Mother's Day gift for if your mother is a basketball fan or a history fan or anything like that. It's a story. I mean, I was at the Durham Sports Club today and sold whatever books that I had left. And half of them were bought by the women there.
Because they
loved, all the women loved Dean Smith. But to hear about him at a time where he was as vulnerable as anybody else, but still crusading and doing the things that, you know, that made him win the Presidential Medal of Freedom is a big draw for a lot of people.
Again, Meet the Author Tea this Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Art Chansky, you just heard him, is going to be the guest speaker at that one, talking about Game Changers, and is also part of the Friends of the Chapel Hill Public Library's annual meeting, which gets underway at 2:45 on Sunday. We're talking book with Susan Brown, and Susan, I want to come back to you. You've had, like, the last 6 minutes off. How does it feel? You rested your voice. It was great.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's rare. No, it's 6 minutes of me not talking?
Yeah.
That might be a Guinness record.
Never happened, yeah. But it's a great story, right?
It is a great story.
And it's a story that is not only worth telling, but needs to be told, because if it's not told, we forget.
Absolutely. And a couple of things while Art was talking I thought of. One is I actually saw Robert Seymour Monday night, and it was wonderful to see him. And just thinking about the people that were here then that can still tell those stories. So it was great to see him Monday night. I hadn't seen him in a while. And then it also made me think of, we had this gentleman here for Meet the Author Tea about a year and a half ago when we did a civil rights in Chapel Hill series. And I want to recommend a book called Courage in the Moment, The Civil Rights Struggle in Chapel Hill, 1961 to 1964. Yeah, and you probably know Jim Wallace.
Game Changers has several of Jimmy Wallace's great pictures. Mm-hmm. And the great gateway display that opened Sunday at the fair on Rosemary Street, that wall has all kinds of Jimmy Wallace's pictures from that book, and Al Amen, who was one of the protesters and photographers at the time. That's a tremendous display there, and I know Jimmy Wallace, has. He could do a week series himself with the stories that he has.
Yeah, he held the audience captive. But folks that only think of Chapel Hill as this progressive college town, mm-hmm. That are surprised to read your book and see those pictures and want to know more. Courage in the Moment is a fabulous book, and I think people are really shocked when they see, you know, these protests on Franklin Street and the hate in people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
It's very moving.
And you know, the people in William Blake was a huge man anyway. He was about 350 pounds, but he was a huge figure in this because he was a disciple of Gandhi and King, and he wanted peaceful protest. And he told his police staff, that his police force, that if you react to the protesters in any way, you're not going to be on my force anymore. And mm-hmm. he actually gave the police force his lieutenants and his officers a clinic on how to move limp bodies off the street, out of the way, and don't jerk them by the arms or legs. You know, he gave a clinic on how to pick up limp bodies and carry them, because they had to move the bodies so life could go on, but they didn't want to hurt anybody. And the biggest protest that made it to campus was after the Wake Forest basketball game in 1964, when everybody came out of the Woolland Gym to find all the streets and roads emptying from the parking lots. Mm-hmm. filled with bodies. People couldn't move their cars. So that's where Arthur Beaumont, who was the UNC police chief, and Bill Blake and a lot of other people were involved in some of those awesome pictures that Jimmy Wallace took of dragging, you know, and Arthur Beaumont was not in the clinic, you know, that Blake had. So you see him dragging people by the arms out of the street so the cars could get out of the parking lot. And Dean, of course, after the game, was with his team and the media and didn't know anything about it, and was absolutely mortified when he found out that it had come onto campus and affected the, you know, because Dean was somebody who always wanted to protect the people who were close to him,
right.
But he also had his belief system, so it was a tremendously conflicting thing for him, too.
Mm. Unbelievable story. Mm-hmm. And the book is out now. It's called Game Changers. It's available. What's the easiest place to get it? I know they'll probably have copies available at the event, maybe, but you can get them online too.
You can get them for UNC Press. You can get it online there, certainly Amazon. And mm-hmm. Jamie Fialco at Flyleaf has a very nice inventory now, and all the local bookstores, all the Barnes and Nobles, and you know, they're still selling very well, and it's a story that's not going to end, because next year, really, even though this is the 50th anniversary of Charlie Scott's enrollment as the first black scholarship athlete, you know, they had freshman teams back then.
Yep.
So next season is really the official 50th anniversary of when he became.
And then 1970 will be, or 2020 will be the 50th of his graduation.
Right. And because we did have athletes, you know, walk-on athletes who played in our freshman teams, but next year will be the 50th anniversary of Charlie taking the court as the first varsity scholarship athlete at Carolina. And I really do hope, Aaron, that Charlie Scott continues to get more recognition, because I really personally don't think that the university has done enough for him.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is Dean Smith, because Dean didn't want Charlie to be recognized for the color of his skin. He wanted him to be celebrated as a good student and a great athlete. And in the 70s, when he became Dean Smith, and his word was gospel, and he said that to the university, the university said, okay, Dean, whatever, you know. So Perry Wallace, who's the first black scholarship athlete in the Southeastern Conference at Vanderbilt, he has a scholarship named after him, and Mike Maloya Davidson, who Charlie would have played with if he hadn't changed his mind and gone from Davidson to Carolina, they have something on Mike Maloya. Carolina now has a nice display in Woolen Gym, you know, two glass cases of those days, but he's in the list of the Carolina First campaign, which is list of students who did something for the first time at Carolina. And tell me somebody who did something at Carolina for the first time that I'm sure somebody equals Charlie Scott, but there's nothing more important than the first black scholarship athlete, considering that now, 50 years later, UNC is in every poll is always considered one of the best places to go for minority students, is not just athletes, minority students as well. And a lot of that started with Charlie Scott's courage.
Yep. 4 to 5 p.m. on Sunday is the Meet the Author tea at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Go there at 3:30, refreshments, tea, Milano's, leave some for Susan. It's very important that you do. But then the Meet the Author tea is from 4 to 5 p.m. Art Chansky will be the speaker. You'll hear a lot more about Game Changers in the book. Art, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And Susan, I look forward to seeing you. We're going to fist bump right here.
You can't see it.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay. That was the best fist bump ever, by the way. I don't know. You really couldn't get a vibe of it on the air, but that was just terrific. Susan, We have some books to recommend, don't we?
I already recommended one, but I've got another one.
You've got another one?
About the sports ball.
Yeah, we've got. We were going to talk about sports history, since that's a book about sports history. It's a book about civil rights history as well. So I want to give another extra shout out to Blood Don't Sign My Name by Tim Tyson, which is the go-to book for me about the history of civil rights in North Carolina. After the Civil Rights Act passes, when you think that the story ends, it continues to go on, and it's just as contentious as before. But sports history, what's your favorite book?
Not my favorite book, but I was thinking the sport that I played. So I was a tennis player.
Yes.
And I'm a girl.
This is true.
And you were earlier, before this show, talking with Dr. Deb Stroman about, I heard her talking about tennis, so I got to thinking about all of that, and I want to recommend a book called Game Set Match, Billie Jean King and the Revolution in Women's Sports.
Oh, nice.
So much like Art's book is really not so much about basketball as it is about the struggle for civil rights. This book takes that pivotal match of Billie Jean King when she... played Bobby Riggs, right?
Yeah.
The Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah.
And it breaks apart that it, you know, talks about the lead up to that and the meaning of that and the sort of play of that, but it's really about all of these larger issues. And it ties a thread from that straight to Title IX. It's a really interesting book that I thought of, thinking about Art's book and thinking about my sports life, which was tennis. And I was also the stats keeper for the basketball teams.
Oh, cool.
That's how nerdy I was.
Very nice, yeah. You and Freddie Kiger, right?
There you go. So right, game, awesome. Set, match, Billie Jean King and the Revolution in Women's Sports.
You know, I'm going to leave it at that. That's
Boom.
A good recommendation. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
See you soon.